We sang that song, Hosanna, and you need to understand what that word means. It means save us. When Jesus walked into Jerusalem, there was Hosanna with the expectation that he could save them. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I do have one thing I want to communicate before we get into the teaching part today, and it is Roots is going to kick off Wednesday night, and at 6:30 we're going to begin 12 weeks of teaching. And I want you to understand the reason it's called Roots is that if you don't have roots that go down into something solid, you will not survive. Something will take you off of your foundation. So I encourage you to, I'm going to make a plea that you take seriously this 12-week session. There's several options you can get involved in. You can come to a large group setting in here. You can go to small group settings, whatever works that gets you into a Bible study and gets you into putting down some deep roots so that you might be prepared for what comes next in your life. Some of you may or may not know that the Nineveh Christian Church is led by elders. Some churches call them bishops. Some churches call them overseers. We call them elders. This church has five elders. Bart Sayre, Lee Moore, Rusty Rubel, Corey Robinson, and me. If you want to know who those guys are, you can go on our website and you can see their pictures and their families on there, and maybe you can get to know them. I am a preaching elder. That is my ordination. Some 28 years ago, on October 17th, 1993, I was ordained as an elder. And as a preaching elder, I am a paid preaching elder. And if you wonder where that comes from, it comes from this scripture. Let me read it to you. 1 Timothy 5:17. Elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scriptures say you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay. That does not mean it's okay for you all to call me an ox. And it does not mean that you can refer to me as a bunch of bull either. The Apostle Peter writes this letter that I'm going to read to you today, chapter 5. The Apostle Peter writes this letter specifically to the elders and to the young men of the church. Elders, meaning the men chosen and ordained to be the spiritual leaders of the church. And before I get into chapter 5, let me ask you, have you ever thought about Peter as being an elder in a church? Because he kind of sees himself in that eldership role. He describes himself as a fellow elder. Now, we think of him as this super apostle, and he is. But he also describes himself as a fellow elder in the church. So here we go, 1 Peter 5:1. It's kind of the foundation for where we're going today. And now, a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. And I too will share in his glory. Here comes the revelation. And I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you. Peter describes himself as an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. Peter knows the price that Jesus paid to obey the Father. He saw it firsthand. Peter also knows the price that Jesus' followers will have to pay to follow Jesus. They will have to stand against the world that has rejected him. Remember, much of Peter's letter, what we call 1 Peter, was about the sufferings of the church, how he encouraged the church to hold on in the midst of hardship, in the midst of opposition, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of ridicule and belittlement and marginalization. Hold on. Don't let go. Why? Because you know something. You know something they don't know. They don't know it yet anyway, but you know something. It is in the final chapter of this first letter called 1 Peter, in the context of church eldership, Peter makes a profound statement that I have a feeling many of you, like maybe me, for years read over it. But it is powerful. It is the revelation. We oftentimes, when we see this word, think of the Apostle John and the final book of the New Testament. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ given through the Apostle John, that last book of the New Testament. But not only does John receive the revelation of Christ, Peter also has the revelation. Do you know that? Did you get the revelation? In fact, I just read it to you. Here's what he says. He says, and I too will share in his glory, in Jesus's glory, when he is revealed to the whole world. Here it comes. Did you know about the revelation? Jesus Christ is going to be revealed to the whole world. Now, the world doesn't know it, but you're supposed to. You have received the revelation. And Peter says, I'm going to share with Jesus in the glory of the moment when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. I want to focus today on this, the revelation. And I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of times, on purpose, by design, did you get the revelation? Jesus is going to be revealed to the whole world. And you need to understand what that means is to believers and unbelievers, Jesus is going to be revealed to the whole world. And there's going to be a group of people on that day that are going to share in the glory of that moment when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. The Apostle John has a revelation. So I guess you could kind of describe this one as Peter's revelation. Do you believe the glory that we are all waiting for will be revealed to the whole world one day? I do. This first letter from the Apostle Peter begins with this glorious statement. So today we're going to look for Peter's version of the revelation. I'm going to go through chapter 5 of 1 Peter, and I want to look at this revelation that he's already given us a hint. That Peter says, I'm going to share in the glory that's going to be revealed when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. I'm going to be there. I'm going to share in that. So before I get into chapter 5, let's go back to chapter 1 of 1 Peter and read this. And as I do this, I want you to get something. If I wanted to draw a crowd, I can preach a series on Revelation. Because I'm going to tell you, in the past I have, and it does. Because everybody's curious about the Apostle John's revelation at the end of the New Testament. You know what I'm curious? I love talking about it. But do you think John's the only one that got a revelation? Do you think John's the only one that got the revelation? What is the revelation? It's the unveiling. It's the revealing. So, today, I want to show you that Peter has a revealing. And I'm going to ask you, do you know about this one? Let's go back to chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, never fade. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything you get down here is going to perish, spoil, and fade. And it's kept in heaven for you. There's the security feature. Who through faith are shielded by God's power. Are you ready? Because here it comes. Who by faith we are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed. Here comes the revelation in the last time. Revealed. Peter's got the revelation too. He says that who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, don't you? If you know the revelation, you do. In this, I greatly rejoice that what He has for me, stored up for me, cannot perish, spoil, or fade. It's mine. I'm going to share in His glory when He's revealed to the world on the last day. I know about the revelation. Do you? Verse 6 again. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. You may have to suffer. You may have to experience grief. You may have to experience all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor. Here it comes again, number 2, when Jesus is revealed. He's got the revelation. He knows about all this because He knows how it ends, about the revelation. And then He says this. I've actually memorized it. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you cannot see Him now, you believe in Him and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Why? Because you know the revelation. Because you are receiving the goal of your faith. The salvation of your soul. Today, we wait for the unveiling, the revealing of Christ from heaven to the whole world, to believers and unbelievers, to unbelievers who have mocked the Word, who have mocked the name. He will be revealed to them, to the whole world. It's the revelation. You know the revelation, don't you? See, I'm convinced that understanding this revelation, there is a time on God's prophetic calendar that He's going to reveal the Son to the whole world. It changes how I see life itself. That's why we endure. That's why we persevere. That's why we never, 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 never give up. Why? Because I know what's coming. We know the revelation. Before the revelation to the whole world occurs, you and I have knowledge. We know what Peter knows, what John knows, what Jesus revealed. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange as a Christian, as if something strange is happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering so that you'll have wonderful joy. Here it comes, number 3. You'll have wonderful joy of seeing His glory when He is revealed to all the world. There you go. That's the third time He has said the revelation. What? I'm going to share in his glory when he's revealed to the whole world. You got the revelation, didn't you? You already know this, right? Do you see the revelation? That is revealed, revealed, revealed. That's three of them. This has been Peter's message throughout his entire letter called 1 Peter. What do you think it'll be like when he's revealed to the whole world? Use your imagination for a moment. When the whole world sees him in his glory, and those who have connected themselves by faith to him, like Peter, I will share in his glory. I believe that I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the world on the last day. What do you think it'll be like? I don't think I've got a word for it. Glory. Glorious. Do you think in that moment you're going to think about your past sufferings? Do you think in that moment you're going to think about how hard it was to stand when everybody around you was falling away? How hard it was to trust him when nobody else around you would? Do you think that's going to be your focus on the day that you share in the glory when he's revealed to the whole world? No, I don't think so. So, Peter's got a revelation. Three times he talks about this revealed. He's going to be revealed to the whole world in the end. He's going to get the people who have connected themselves to him by faith are going to share in the glory that will be revealed to the whole world on the last day. So, okay, we acknowledge Peter has the revelation too. Well, he's joining with John, who has the revelation. So let's jump over and read and see if John and Peter are talking about the same thing. So let's go to Revelation 1, verse 6. He has made us a kingdom of priests. Did you know that's you? If you're in Christ, he has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven and everyone will see him. I think Peter and John talked, don't you? He comes in the clouds. And everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the nations, see, they're talking about the same thing. And all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and the one who is still to come. He's coming. The Almighty One. Everyone will see him. All the nations will see Jesus at the revealing that is to come. And when I say that, when I read that, I'm sorry, I look at the audience, I think of the people watching online, and I'm always, I wish I weren't, I'm always curious how many people actually believe that. How many people actually believe that there's going to be a glorious moment and the whole world's going to see him? Unbelievers, believers, and those who are believers are going to share. We're going to participate in the moment of that glory. Do you believe it? This is also one of John's revelation, Revelation 1:19. Jesus looks at John and says, write it down. I love it. I'm glad he wrote it down. I'm glad. Thank you, Lord. Write down what you have seen, John, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen. He's writing down the revelation. Do you know why? Do you understand why? You and I know the revelation before the revelation is going to be revealed to the whole world. What's the value in your life to knowing that which is coming? It is priceless. It has eternal value because I know what's coming. I don't know the exact day and the hour. I don't know. He said I could know the season if I paid attention. And I'm telling you today something. Listen, whether you know it or not, you've got an advanced copy of the Revelation in your house, in your language. Do you know the value of this? That's why I say, I wonder how many people actually believe it. And one of the ways you can probably tell is ask yourself, how much time this past week did you spend in here? How much time this past week were you in the Revelation? The revealing, the unveiling. Not just about what he's going to do when he comes, but about who he is. And about how he thinks and how he responds and what he's planning to do. What he did, what he did in the past, what he's doing now, what he's going to do in the future. It's here. You've got it in your language. You know about the revealing that is coming. You do, don't you? You do believe the revelation, don't you? The one from Peter, the one from John, the one from Jesus. I can tell you this. It's important that you know the elders of this church believe it. Yes, they do. Every one of them do. And I can tell you, I believe it. And I am anxiously waiting this revelation when Jesus is going to be revealed to the whole world. And I, like Peter, listen carefully, I'm not making a mistake. I, like Peter, believe that I will share in the glory in the moment when he is revealed to the whole world. Changes my whole worldview. Now, in the context of what I have just given you, now we can start reading what I want to read to you today. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter, the final chapter of the first letter of the Apostle Peter, the one with the revelation, who's writing, listen, he's writing to a church that will have to endure suffering to survive. If you're not willing to suffer for Christ, you won't share in the glory that will be revealed on the last day. He's addressing the elders as a fellow elder as he's waiting for the great revealing, the revelation. So I'm going to go back and read the first two verses, chapter 5. And now a word to you who are elders in the churches. Peter said, I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. And I too will share in his glory. And I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you what? Here's his appeal. To the elders, care for the flock. Care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over, watch over the flock willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you can get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God. Elders are given the responsibility by God to care for the flock. Nineveh Christian Church has 5 elders. They are God's called people to shepherd this flock of sheep. Now, I'm going to tell you, this has been very difficult during the pandemic. I hope you understand that during the pandemic, because many have left the church during the pandemic, many of the sheep have wandered off, and in my heart, I actually wonder if some of them will ever be back. I don't know. I can tell you this, that last September, I sent out 150 personal letters to people who had stopped coming to church. I got very few responses. Last month, I sent out 188 text messages. Maybe you're in the room today and you got one of those from me. Hi. Hi, that was me. Why? The elders are charged to shepherd the flock. It is our responsibility when the sheep don't show up to check on the sheep. But I can't make you come. I can't make you persevere. I can't make you endure. But I can tell you about the revelation. I can tell you about the revelation. And I'm going to tell you about the revelation. We are charged to shepherd the flock willingly, do it selflessly, do it joyfully. Even when the sheep keep running off, do it joyfully. Why? Is it for money? No. Is it for a paycheck? I'm the only elder that gets paid. Why do the other four do it? Because they are eager to serve God. And they are honored that God has called them in such a task. I want to say something. I need to say this. I consider myself blessed to have the eldership that we do at this church. They're my boss. I report to the four elders. They're my bosses here. If tomorrow they said you're fired, I'm out of here. They have authority over me. I submit to their authority. And I am thankful because they are men of God who care about the sheep. And I need to tell you, maybe you don't even know who they are. You are blessed to sit under these men. Whether you know it or not, you are blessed to sit under these kind of men who, when we meet, we spend most of the time, 80% of the time, on our knees in prayer for you and for the sheep who aren't here. They are humble men, godly men who serve behind the scenes to watch over your souls. Think about that job description, to watch over your souls as they watch over the church at Nineveh. Shepherds, elders, are soul watchers, keeping the roaring lion Satan from snatching the sheep from the sheep pen. You ever thought of that? In Hebrews 13, verse 17, here's how he describes it. Obey your spiritual leaders. Do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls. And they, the elders, are accountable to God for watching over your soul. Give them reason to do this with joy, not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit to make our jobs harder. This is how James chapter 5 describes it, verse 14. Are any of you sick? You should call the elders. Why? Call the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil. And by the way, yes, we do this. And we anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. That's powerful. That's powerful. I can tell you that we take this calling as elders seriously. And we all believe we will stand accountable before God on the last day at the revelation. But we also believe that we will share in His glory. If we are faithful, we will share in His glory when Jesus is revealed to the whole world on the last day. Why? Because we know about the revelation. Do you? We believe that we'll stand before God accountable on the last day. And are you ready? And we also believe that so will you. Some of you, I've been here 21 years in May. And I'll say this, please don't take it the wrong way. Some of you are easy to shepherd and some of you are not. There you go. This is Peter's charge to the elders, his fellow elders, church leaders. Listen, verse 3. Don't lord it over the people assigned. In other words, don't misuse your authority. Don't do it. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when, not if, when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. Do you see the revelation in that one? He says, and when he appears, you can share in his glory. Peter describes the role of an elder as a serious one before God, but with a great reward for those who will commit their life to it. But what about, there was a second category. Did you notice it when I read that first verse in chapter 5? He says, I write this as a fellow elder to the elders and to the young men of the church. So I'm going to ask the younger men. I'm one of the older guys here. Your younger men, he's got a word for you. And you will stand accountable for this word, just like I will stand accountable for the one to the elders. Young men, listen. Verse 5. In the same way, under the same accountability, in the same way, you younger men must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you serve each other in humility. For God opposes proud people. He opposes the proud, but he favors the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he'll lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. To the younger men, Peter, who knows about the revelation, he challenges the younger men of the church to acknowledge the authority of the church elders and then serve each other. Serve each other. That's what we do in light of the revelation. We serve each other. We love each other. That's what families do. God will oppose you if you are proud and refuse to humble yourself under the elders and refuse to serve each other, he will oppose you. God will oppose you. That's what Peter, who knows the revelation, says. But he will bless you with his divine favor if you become a humble servant in the church and you live with a mission, like the elders' mission is to oversee the flock, that you, younger men, serve each other in the church. He will lift you up. You go down, that's humility, and he will lift you up. But if you are arrogant and prideful and you refuse to accept the authority of the elders that God has put in place, and you refused the calling of God to serve each other in this family, the body of Christ, then he will humble you. Whenever I read that verse, and there's another one that the John the Baptist says, I must decrease so that he might increase. I must become less so that he might become more. I must go down so that he will lift me up. Whenever I read this and I think about this, I'm always reminded of King Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know why. My mind always goes back to the book of Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar. And here's why. Daniel was a holy man set in front of this unholy man named Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel had the revelation. And he gives the revelation to Nebuchadnezzar. But Nebuchadnezzar is an arrogant guy. He's prideful. He rejects the authority of Daniel as a holy man of God. And Daniel keeps warning him, this pride's going to ruin you, Nebuchadnezzar. This arrogant pride, boasting and lifting yourself up, it's going to ruin you. But he refused to accept the revelation of God's man. And what happened? God turned him into a beast. For 7 years, he took the king. And by the way, understand that in that time, he was the lone world superpower. He was the top guy. And the top guy went to the bottom. The top guy, the king over Babylon, which ruled the world in that time, went out and became a beast who ate grass in the field. At the end of 7 years of that humbling experience, God returned his right mind to the king, and I want you to listen. The reason I do this, I want you to understand, you can do it the easy way, you can do it the hard way. I recommend the easy way. This the easy way. Accept the revelation. Accept the revelation. The revelation came from Daniel to arrogant Nebuchadnezzar. He refused the revelation. 7 years later, when he finally comes to his own mind, Daniel 4:37, here's what he said. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. That's the easy way. Do it before the 7 years. Did you hear me? Before the 7 years. There's another place in the Bible where there's a 7 years. Before the 7 years, accept the revelation. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of heaven. All of his acts are just and true, and he is able to humble the proud. Here's my message to the church today. Don't test God regarding the revelation. Don't do it. Don't test God on the revelation of his truth. Sheep of the church, do not test God. Then in chapter 5, Peter's revelation turns to a warning. And this warning is not about inside the church. No. Now suddenly his warning is about a force, a power, a person outside the church. A powerful adversary. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. This is written to the church about the power outside the church. He said, stay alert, church. Watch out, church, for your great enemy, church, the devil. Watch out. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to eat. Someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith against the roaring lion, church. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of sufferings that you are. Stay alert, stay firm, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Why do I make such a push on Roots classes this week? Because your greatest defense against the roaring lion is this. This. He cannot stand against this. He cannot stand next to the revelation. But you must stand. You must stand on the truth. It is not sufficient to know about the truth. You must stand on the truth. It is not sufficient to know about the truth. That's a great place to start. Then you stand on it. No matter what it costs, no matter what Satan, the roaring lion, does, you stand. We never surrender to the truth. Satan wants to eat you. What'd you think devour meant? Chew you up, spit you out? He wants to eat you. He'd like to kill you, destroy your life, kill. Steal, destroy. That's how Jesus describes him. He wants to eat you. But he can't if you stand firm on the faith. That's in the revelation. This spiritual battle is the essence of Christian suffering. There is a spiritual war that's taking place all around the world. Right now, we're in a spiritual war. This last year, this pandemic, all this political chaos. Can you see it? It is a spiritual war. Some people see it. Some people can't see it. Or they won't see it. This war is taking place all around the world. And I'm going to tell you, listen carefully what I'm about to say. It will intensify as we get closer and closer to the ultimate and final revealing when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. Do you really think things are going to get better? No. It's going to get worse. John's revelation describes victory over the roaring lion. that wants to eat you like this. Like this. This is the revelation. Did you get the revelation? Revelation 12, 11, and they defeated him. And the him is the devouring lion, Satan. And they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, by their testimony. And they did not love their life so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come to the earth and the sea, for the devil has gone down, has come down to you in great anger, knowing he has little time left. Three things that Satan cannot overcome, and they all come from the revelation. Three things. You know the revelation, right? You know why it's important to understand, believe, receive the revelation? Because in the revelation, three things Satan cannot stand against. Number one, the blood of the Lamb. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The blood of the Lamb. He cannot stand against the blood of the Lamb. Number two, your testimony. Let me give you an example. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is with my mouth that I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it is with my heart that I believe that God raised him from the dead. And Satan cannot stand against this testimony. He can't look at me and say, no, he didn't, because he knows he did. He knows he did. Do you know the revelation? Do you have a testimony? Is that testimony only for church, or is that testimony for the world? Because Satan doesn't just come on Sundays. It's for your life, my life's testimony. Jesus is the Christ, and he's going to be revealed to the whole world on the last day. And if I connect my life by faith to him, I'm going to share in the glory that's going to be revealed to the whole world on the last day. Do you know the revelation? Number three. Not afraid to die. What can Satan do if you're not afraid to die? Can he kill you? Yep, he can. If God allows it, he can take your life. Kill, steal, destroy. He comes to eat, devour, right? That's the warning. Can he kill you? Yeah. But what if you're not afraid to die? What if you're not afraid to die? What if you won't give up your testimony? And what if the blood of the Lamb covers you? He has no teeth. He has no power. He's been overcome. And what if he, and let's be practical, and what if he does eat me? And what if I die? I will rise from the dead. Do you have the revelation? No. Do you believe the revelation? There's a difference. You see, the fact is, are you ready? They killed Peter. You could say they ate him. Satan ate Peter, right? I mean, that's what the world would say. If Peter really is who he said, if Peter really is one of Jesus' people, how could Satan eat him? How could he kill him? How could he take his life? They killed Peter. If you read church history, they killed all the apostles except for John. Are you ready? They cannot kill the revelation. Here we are still talking about the revelation. Still talking about, they couldn't. Why didn't he stop the revelation? Because you can't. Because the word. Jesus said what? Heaven and earth are going to pass away. They're going, not maybe. Heaven and earth are going to pass. This physical realm is going to pass away. But my words, the revelation, cannot pass away. Yes, they killed Peter. Yes, they killed the other apostles, all of them except John. Some would say the roaring lion ate them, but I really don't believe it. Why? Because they had the revelation. They all knew the revelation about the resurrection, and they are all going to be at the revealing. They're all going to share in the glory that's going to be revealed at the last day when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. Jesus gave clear instructions about the power of his voice. Now, I've touched on this last week, and I feel like I need to do one more thing. His voice. When he speaks, supernatural power is released upon the earth. He gave clear instructions about the power of his voice that has the power to raise the dead. Now, last week I got into detail. There's two types of dead. There are people who are dead and they don't know they're dead. They're walking dead. They have not been born again and they're just waiting for the grave, but they don't even know that they're the walking dead. They have not been born again, so they're just walking dead. But there's another group of dead, and they are those who have actually died and been buried. Very clear instructions in John chapter 5 about the power of his voice. What his voice does to death. Here we go. I tell you the truth. This is Jesus. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message, that is the revelation. Those who listen to my message and believe in God, who sent me, have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed over from death to life. And I assure you that the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the dead, now he's talking about the walking dead people, those who have not been born again, they're heading for hell unless something happens. A time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice. There's a supernatural power. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to the heart of these walking dead people. They will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen to the revelation will live. The Father has life in itself, in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to his Son, and he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. And now here comes number two. Number two, that voice coming out of Jesus supernaturally causes people to be born again. They pass over from death to life, right? Here comes the second group. These people actually are dead. They're buried, dead and buried. Don't be surprised, verse 28. Indeed, the time is coming. Now he's talking about a future event. When the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God, they will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. So in light of that truth about the voice of God having the ability to raise the dead, do you have the revelation? It comes to those who listened and believed. Some of you know, some of you may not know. This past Friday morning, my mother died. Just before 6 o'clock in the morning, my mother breathed her last breath and passed away. My mother was a godly woman who suffered much in the final days. My mother was a prolific reader. I think she'd read through the Bible 20-something times. Just one Bible we found, she wrote in the back of it, she'd read it 20-something times. She probably knew more about scriptures than I do. On several occasions, she told me that. She was also a writer. She'd been bedfast for 5 years. And she's a writer, and she would write a journal kind of a thing. And just a few days before she died, I took the journal and started reading the last page that she had written. And by that time, my mom had gotten to the point where she couldn't write. But I was curious what the last thing she wrote was. In fact, at the below what I'm about to read to you, below that, it wasn't legible. That's what happened to her. It just became unlegible. I couldn't read it. But here's what she wrote, the last thing written on that page in her journal before she died. She said, I am closer to home. I am closer to home than I was the day before. And there's a gap. I can't read the next few words. I can't make it out. And then she says this. This is the last entry. And I am about to receive my glorified body. That's the last thing she said. Somebody asked me, and you're going to preach Sunday? She died Friday. You're going to preach Sunday? And I need to make this really clear. If I thought this morning my mother was in hell, I couldn't preach today. I couldn't do it. But if I know today my mother is going to share in the glory of the resurrection, and that she currently is in the presence of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I couldn't wait to preach today. And here's why. Listen very carefully what I'm about to say, because I have this incredible fear in my heart that there are people listening to me right now who are not ready for him and his appearing. You are not ready. There are some people in this room right now that are not ready. And unless something changes, you will not share in the glory that will be revealed when he is revealed to the world. And did you think everybody goes to heaven? Who told you that? You see, that lion might eat you. That roaring lion might take your life. But I'm going to tell you, he cannot take the revelation. And he cannot take the resurrection. Amen. He cannot. Amen. We will bury my mother tomorrow. But we will not bury the revelation. Right. We will proclaim the revelation at her funeral. And as long as I have breath, I'm going to proclaim the revelation to as many people as he lets me speak to. You see, that lion might eat you. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. He might eat me, but he can't take away my testimony. He can't take away the blood of the Lamb. He can't take away the revelation. That lion might eat you, but he can't touch my soul. He can't touch your soul. And by the way, we're all scheduled for a new body anyway. Listen, I don't want to be eaten. I don't want any of you to be eaten either. But there's something bigger than physical death. And I want to say this clearly. Hell is worse than COVID-19. The world would like to tell you differently. It is a lie. Hell is worse than COVID-19. There is no vaccination that gets you out of hell. It is permanent, forever lost. Spiritual death is big. They can take my body, but they cannot take my soul. It already belongs. I've already died to myself. I've already given my soul to God. Because I received, by the grace of God, I received the revelation. Hallelujah. I received it. I believe it. That I, like Peter, like hopefully all of you, are going to share in the glory when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. But it only works if you believe it. It's called faith. And I'll say it again, I was looking forward to a new body anyway. In Luke 12, verse 4, I read this last week. I feel like I need to read it again. Dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. And I'm going to insert something. Don't be afraid. If you're a believer, don't be afraid of COVID-19.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not saying be stupid. I'm not saying don't be careful and do common sense stuff. You did not hear that come out of me. Use your brain. But there's something worse than COVID-19. And here's what it is. Don't be afraid of those who kill your body. They cannot do any more after they kill your body. And Jesus says, but I'll tell you whom to fear. Fear God, who has the power to kill you and then throw you into hell. Yes, he's the one to fear. You and I have received God's glorious revelation, revealed by the Word of God through the power today of the Holy Spirit. I know what's coming. I know the revelation. The future has already been revealed. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. But it's coming. This is Peter's final instruction as he summarizes the revelation. Verse 10. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. Somebody say hallelujah. He will, after you might have to suffer, after there might be some really bad things happen in the next little bit, I don't know. He promises for those who are in Christ, I'll restore, support, strengthen, and place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. So here's my closing. Do you believe this stuff? Do you? The revelation of God through the Apostle Peter. Do you believe this stuff? Be honest. It's only a revelation if you believe it. It's not a revelation. It revealed anything if you don't accept it and receive it as truth. Peter closes out his letter with three verses. Here's the last three. Verse 12, I have written and sent this short letter to you with the help of Silas, whom I commend to you as a faithful brother. My purpose in writing is to encourage you and assure you that you are experiencing, what you are experiencing is truly part of God's grace for you. Stand firm. What's his instruction to the church? Stand firm in this grace. Your sister church here in Babylon sends you greetings. So does my son Mark. Greet each other with Christian love. Peace be with all of you who are in Christ. That is the purpose of the revelation, so that you will know that what you are experiencing now and what you're going to experience between now and the last day is the grace of God. You're living in the grace. Peter, in his letter, 1 Peter, uses the word revealed 7 times. Tell me it's not a revelation. 7 times he uses the word revealed. The revelation of God has been revealed to you today. You must accept it. You must stand firm in it. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what the roaring lion does or teaches, you have to stand firm in it. I close with the verse that we opened with today. The revelation from the Apostle Peter, verse 1. And now, a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. And I too, is this you? And I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder today, I appeal to you. 1 year ago, February 23rd, I preached a sermon here called Living Stones. 3 weeks before we ended up closing the church for 8 weeks for the launch of this pandemic. 1 year ago, I stood up here and I said something out loud that was not in my notes. At the moment I said it, I wasn't even sure why I said it. I said, something's coming. I said it twice. Something's coming that's going to rock your world. Now, I'm not acting like I'm some prophet or something. I find it curious myself. But on that Sunday, February 23rd, before the pandemic ever came, I said, something's coming that's going to rock your world. Now, today, I'll tell you this. It's not over. It's not over. Do you know about the revelation? Do you know about the roaring lion? Do you know about the sufferings that the church has been told about that will happen in the last day for those who stand firm for their faith? Because if the Lord tarries, there will become persecution of the church in this country. And some of you will survive it, and some of you probably won't. But it won't be because you didn't hear the revelation. I got a hypothetical question. Chad's going to come on out, and it's a hypothetical question. But I'd like to ask you that to close today. Here's the hypothetical question. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, that this coming Tuesday, the Lord Jesus will be revealed to the whole world. Tuesday. Hypothetical question. Somebody's going to go out of here and say, Terry said Jesus is coming Tuesday. I did not say that. Hypothetically speaking, Tuesday, Jesus is going to be revealed to the whole world. But, hypothetically, it's Friday. It's the before Friday. And you're in the story. You know that it's going to be Tuesday. He's going to be revealed to the whole world. But it's Friday. Here's my question. On Sunday, knowing what you knew before because of the revelation, when Sunday comes, would you come and worship him in person? Or would you watch it online? See, that answers everything about today's message. Do you know about the revelation? Do you think everybody goes to heaven? Who told you that? Father, Hosanna. Save us. If you don't save us, if your voice, your spirit doesn't enter our lives and transform us from the inside out, none of us will make it. None of us. Zero. But we're living in the time of your grace. When the revelation is being revealed and you're telling us what's coming, and those who listen and believe will, like Peter, share in the glory when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. So, Father, I pray that your Spirit will do your work today. We trust what happens next into your hands. In Jesus' name, and amen. The invitation is open. Let's stand.